Olá, você que está aqui participando, escutando mais uma vez, vendo aqui o nosso programa Nenhuma Gota. Nenhuma gota de petróleo brasileiro entregue a Israel e ao genocídio, nenhuma gota de sangue palestino derramado. O programa de hoje é muito especial. Estamos numa semana decisiva, mais uma semana da ofensiva genocida brutal de Israel à cidade de Gaza, como uma nova fase dentro do genocídio. E cada vez mais a gente tem visto um blackout de informações. Israel sistematicamente ataca os jornalistas, a internet, como ontem atacou, fazendo mais de 11 ataques de drones à flotilha. Então, e a flotilha não desiste de sua missão. Uma missão não violenta de romper o cerco ilegal e criminoso de Israel à faixa de Gaza, e a flotilha segue seu caminho no Mediterrâneo rumo a Gaza. Essa semana também a gente viu acontecer alguns eventos de magnitude histórica, como foi a greve geral dos trabalhadores italianos e grandes manifestações em toda a Itália em apoio ao povo palestino. Faziam algumas décadas que a gente não via uma greve geral política e com motivo internacionalista acontecendo na Itália ou em algum outro país. É um grande exemplo a classe trabalhadora mundial. É uma força que a gente viu sentir nas manifestações gigantes em Gênova, em Bolonha, Florença, Roma. E um exemplo No, com a palavra de ordem que os trabalhadores italianos levantaram de bloquear tudo, que inspira trabalhadores, estudantes que têm levantado essa mesma palavra de ordem na França, no Estado espanhol, ou hoje mesmo em petroleiros. Começou também aqui ter uma discussão em petroleiros no país, de que tipo, especialmente no Rio de Janeiro, de que tipo de ação de solidariedade pode ser tomada diante da continuidade desse genocídio. O governo brasileiro e outros governos já declararam que é genocídio. O Lula falou na Assembleia Geral da ONU que é genocídio e criticou duramente o governo Netanyahu. No entanto, o Brasil continua tendo comércio com Israel. Lutamos para que não tenha nenhuma gota de petróleo brasileiro entregue, direta ou indiretamente, para Israel, e pela ruptura total de todas as relações. E para isso, nós, trabalhadores, não devemos ficar parados esperando a reação dos governos e das empresas. Temos que nos inspirar no exemplo dos trabalhadores italianos e como eles tomam em suas mãos a solidariedade para contribuir na nossa luta, nessa luta central de nosso tempo, de contribuir pelo fim do genocídio do povo palestino e para uma Palestina livre do rio ao mar. Então, hoje no programa, a gente vai ter aqui uma entrevista muito especial que fizemos com o companheiro Luca Gheri, que é militante da FIR, organização irmã do MRT na Itália e que é um dos colaboradores do La Voce della Lotte, que é o site irmão do Esquerda Diário em italiano, e que vai nos contar de como foi a greve, das lições que tira a greve, das próximas perspectivas de como está o movimento de massas na Itália. Então, vamos assistir aqui agora na sequência essa entrevista que gravamos agora há pouco.
Fantastic. In this new episode of Not a Single Drop, Not a Single Drop of Brazilian Oil to Israel, Not a Single Drop of Palestinian Bloodshed, we have a very special guest here today. We have Luca Gheri. He's a student in Bologna University in Italy. He actively participated in the general strike that happened last Monday, and he will be able to tell us about the general strike, as well as the perspectives of La Voce della Lotte, which is the Italian sister newspaper to Esquerda Diario. So we're glad to have you here, Luca. So to begin our interview, I want to ask you, this Monday we saw this historical event, a general strike and mass demonstrations in Italy in support of the Palestinian people. And that inspires workers around the world to tell you something new that we didn't arrange before the meeting. Today we had a meeting out with oil workers here, and we were discussing that and discussing how we can get inspired and have actions in solidarity, like this historic action that Italian workers and students, Italian people did this Monday. So would you please tell us your on the extent and how it felt on the ground in Italy, this historical day that we had?
Okay, so first off, hello. Thank you, Leandro, for inviting me. Hello to all, everyone who's watching, and obviously all the comrades from Mascherata Diario and the MRT. So if I speak too quickly, please tell me. I tend to rush sometimes, but I will start this off, first off, by saying, from a purely personal perspective, as far as like how it was perceived and how I perceived it and how it felt like just being in it. So I, along with some comrades, we've been doing politics for almost like more than 10 years and all that. And I can definitely say this was the largest mobilization that I had the fortune, the luck in participating in. And it was just one of the most inspiring moments of political militancy that I've had in my entire life. As far as how it was received, you give me this great news that it's been seen and it's been inspiring conversations amongst workers and students all over the world. I think that a very important passage is just that, like a second question that you could put is how the strike itself was received in Italy from its proclamation to when it actually happened. I think we have never seen such a turnout for the, first off, for the in solidarity with Palestine. I was talking earlier, and one interesting thing was that in the past 2 years, there were days of national mobilization that usually had like one place where the entire movement tried to converge. And it was like considered a big success if we could reach 100,000 people, like it would have been massive. And this time on Monday, on the slogan of Blocchiamo Tutto, which is block everything, which is now becoming a global rallying cry for the solidarity movement and for solidarity with Gaza, just in Rome, there were more than 100,000 people. And then, as you've seen in the coverage from the comrades from the whole Red Internacional, obviously we say hi to them as well because they did a great job covering that. We had more than 100,000 people in Rome, more than 50,000 people in my hometown in Bologna, protesting, demonstrating, more than 20,000 people in Milan, more than 30,000 people in Turin, more than 30,000 people in Naples. And it just goes on and on and on. And even in smaller towns, people came out in droves. And this would not have been possible, I think, without the massive demonstration which took place in Genoa. The precise date, is kind of lost on me exactly right now, but it was on the day that the freedom, that the Gaza Sumud flotilla left from the shores of Italy, and the dock workers organized a massive demonstration in Genova. The dock workers were organized by the Collettivo Autonomo Lavoratori Portuali, which is an autonomous collective which is affiliated with the USP, which is the main union that that organized the strike, that is behind the strike. And there was 50,000 people in Genoa. 50,000 people. Genoa is not that big of a city. It was a massive response from the workers' movement, from the students who have been constantly active for the past 2 years in blocking the university and all that. And they really showed out because the global Sumud flotilla, I think, really gave a sense of hope, and especially the idea that it is possible to directly influence what is going on in Gaza, and that we can fight to break the complicity of our governments. And because of this, the call just became expanded like wildfire. And I think it's valid to say that right now the keyword of the strike is starting to resonate among sectors of workers and people who have been extremely disafiados,
challenged.
yes, who have been challenged for many years and demoralized, who have been demoralized for many years and who have thought that, you know, union activity could be and workers' activity could be reduced to like very managerial kind of like just sorting out your taxes and all that. And the strike itself is gaining a lot of meaning amongst people. And this could open the road for the potential for a mass political strike, which is something that we haven't seen in Italy since the movement against the war in Iraq. And that, to this day, is one of the largest mobilizations of the working class in a political sense in Italy. And to hear that comrades around the world are starting to feel this kind of emotion obviously makes us hope even more as internationalists for the possibilities that are ahead.
No, and it's fantastic how you summed it up. Like, the Global Sumud Flotilla showed that we could make a difference against the genocide. And as we start seeing mass demonstrations and workers striking to stop arms from going to Israel, like it has happened before in Italy and other ports in the Mediterranean, in France, in Spain, in Greece. But now seeing this large protests and this call to strike kind of gives an example that we can, we workers, that we move the world, we can make a difference and we can stop, we can contribute to stop this genocide. And it's really impressive to think of how massive it was. And I read also like you had trains, you had ports that stopped. Yeah. And but tell us a little more about the strike. Besides the solidarity with the Palestinian people, what were the, I think that it was connected with criticisms on the government in Italy as well. And so tell us more about the demands of the strike. And it's interesting that you tell us, because it comes as a shock as well to some people around the world to see such a new kind of action by the working class, something we hadn't seen in decades, like the political strikes around the Iraq war, like you said, to be happening during a right-wing government like the Meloni government. So tell us a little more about what is echoing inside Italy about this movement and as part of the situation.
So absolutely, of course. I think I was also reading today while I was, you know, looking for some additional information for this interview, passages about the Meloni government and specifically, you know, the connections to NATO and her approval basically of raising military spending and all that. And some of the articles that come out from out of Italy talk about the Meloni government as basically the most popular government in the history of this country. It's like, it's insane. There's this massive narrative being spun. So the issue is that many of these comments are made without keeping into consideration the massive like demoralization that occurred in social movements and the hampering of the union movement, which has been aided by the bourgeois left, the center left, by the Democratic Party, which now attempts to clean itself off. But of course, it's important to stress that for the past 3 years, we have been living under possibly the most right-wing government that this country has ever had. And but the characteristics of this, I'll start first off because of how you phrased it as well. While we were discussing this before about like how it is to organize under such a right-wing government. From the start, this movement has been hampered and has had obstacles put in place in the form of repression, a state repression that we had really never seen. And even when it wasn't, you know, able to organize, excuse me, there's just a bit of noise outside of my window right now. Okay. Sirens, but I think it's ambulances, so it's, but you know, even without even without reaching moments of mass mobilization like the one on Monday, we have had a level of repression which hasn't had precedent. So, like, for example, you've had lots of evictions, lots of criminalizing laws, a lot more control on, for example, essential sector workers and their right to strike. And the Meloni government has come to represent all of this. And it has done it from the first moment to immediately identify so-called deviant forces in society and target them with specific measures to hold them back. We've had a lot of repression, and that has, I think, been a very important part of the conversation. Because one of the major laws that it introduced, the law decree on security, the DL Sicurezza, was made specifically keeping in mind to worsen the provisions, worsen the sanctions against people who do exactly what was done on Monday. So, for example, blocking critical infrastructure, blocking the ports, blocking the highways, all of that. It is considered now like you are blocking strategic infrastructure, you know? So kind of tying this to the idea of national interest and national security, because ultimately the big issue here is that the Meloni government is stepping in line with the direction of NATO. And NATO has imposed through the policy of American imperialism, it has imposed that individual governments have to raise their spending up to 5%. And Meloni in June announced that she was going to abide by that. She said that in a very interesting moment of honesty to me, said that this wasn't really any different from the commitments that were made in 2014 when there was a center-left government. And that's also kind of true. The issue is that you now have this party and this administration, which comes from the worst tradition of the far right in Italy. And they are using basically the idea, they're using people's fears of what is going on in Eastern Europe and all that to promote the idea of basically collective defense. It's a nice operation of rebranding, but an important part of this is giving power to our weapons industry. This program is called the Nimguna Gota. I would imagine the petroleo, no? Right? It's petrol. It puts an emphasis on the energy situation. Now, of course, we do have an energy sector. We have Eni, who directly is looking to exploit oil wells off the coast of Gaza. And that is a very important development. But right now, the main issue, and this was highlighted as well in the demonstration in Florence, is the complicity between the arms industry, which is represented by Leonardo, which in the past 10 years has become one of the major players in the European defense industry, in supplying weapons to Israel. We are also the second country as far as importations of weapons from Israel. Mm-hmm. So our economies are extremely tied. So organizing in this context has meant exposing the nature of these warmongering policies, which always and necessarily come at the cost of social services, of essential services, and of measures that would actually finally start to put money back into workers' pockets. We have one of the widest margins of separation between the cost of living and real salaries and real wages. This is a situation that is without comparison in the European Union. And so it's all part of being, it's basically a government which has decided to follow the line of imperial expansion and complicity with genocide materially and ideologically. It is done so in, and then I'm going to stop because I talk a lot, but it has done so by using a partnering coalition, which is the far right Lega Nord party, which has, during the electoral campaign, which has said that we were never going to go back to war and we're not going to support the war effort, and still to this day tries to portray itself as kind of like an anti-war right, like it's and get closer to Putin and all that. But they've used that kind of rhetoric to lie to people effectively and realign Italy and align Italy as much as possible to these plans of imperial. But such a reaction now immediately throws into relief that maybe this government isn't as popular as it says. Maybe this government isn't, you know, people aren't as in agreement. Maybe they were just a lot demoralized for many years and they didn't see an alternative because the center left was aligned with the bourgeoisie and bourgeois politics. So today is an important chance to put mass opposition back on the map in the movement against Giorgia Meloni.
No, and it's really interesting to see this happening, this possibility of this mass movement and moralization to put a mass movement against Meloni. But even such a right-wing government is forced by the class struggle, by the working class, to take measures like sending a Navy ship to accompany the flotilla to protect it. So even this right-wing government, because of class struggle, because of the dock workers, the students, and all the organized manifestations, all these things that the working class is doing in Italy, such a government was obliged to take that action. So it's also something that shows us that we can make a difference, that the workers, if we are decided, we can make a difference. So, and I understand that today there were new calls by the unions in Italy. So if the flotilla continues to be attacked, yesterday we saw this absurd attack. We had large-scale drone attacks on the flotilla, and I understand there are new calls by the unions and by the left in Italy, and that's echoing around the Mediterranean. We are seeing in the Spanish state and in France that some universities are calling to block everything, or the unions are starting to move. So I want to get a picture and get your perspective of how are the new actions being called in Italy, and what's the situation, what we are looking forward to be seeing in Italy, and what are you preparing for?
Yeah. So as you said, you know, the importance of just realizing that we actually can do something. I completely, of course, with what you say, with respect to what you say and new kinds of actions. So the main engine of this movement has always been, and I, in my opinion, still is, the students' movement. So the students have been active for the past 2 years, you know, occupying university. We have occupied the University of Bologna in small parts. Still, not in complete blockades or anything. That is because also our students' movement is coming from a period of reflux. I don't know how to accurately convey this, but it was a lot of passivity. So it was about restarting, you know, active political work in the universities and all that. But of course, the breaking news of today is that of course, the USB with the attacks that you cited. Of course, the USB right now is very well positioned and has probably never had this big of an audience and such a legitimacy to call for a mobilization in case of new attacks. And of course, we encourage that, we support that, and we are obviously keeping on track with whatever's going to be called on there. They're saying as far as like new actions. The interesting, I think, part of this is that they plan to organize a general strike unannounced. So basically, they don't want to give notice to the Commissione di Garanzia Scioperi, which it's basically the national guarantor for strikes, which is you have to go through that process, especially if you want to organize in essential sectors like healthcare and transportation, which is, you know, strategic. I think when we were talking about the characteristics of the strike, the big part of this, I think, is the fact that it was the dock workers and the workers in the railways and all that, because those are logistic, strategic points of our chain of production. So we are more towards the distribution aspect of this. But they're saying that it's going to be an unannounced general strike, which makes the situation even more inflammable. It makes the potential for this and for radicalization even more important, because it's basically telling the government something that I think that socialists in the 20th century had a lot more clear, which is the whole point is that if we tell you, it's going to be less effective. And if you want it to be effective, we can't tell you. And there's that. But the other big development was that the CGIL, which is the main union in the country, which is the union that went on strike on the 19th, has been pressured, as well as the government was, by this day of mobilization, because they themselves weren't able to create such a situation. And they were forced to come to terms with the fact that the real movement and the real feeling among even its adherents was that there is a need for a general strike. And they endorsed the call for a general strike today. So these are kind of the developments. I think that in the workers' movement right now, there is a lot of discussion as to basically how, like, what we can do next. Obviously, all eyes on the Sumut Flotilla. Obviously, all eyes on Gaza. I think that will always give, even in times of where maybe not everything is exactly laid out, it's a nice compass to have, of course, you know, like, because you're creating that connection. But as far as like next steps go, the universities have been very active. At the end of the day of struggle on Monday, we've had, I believe, two occupations of universities in Firenze and in Rome. In Rome, especially the mobilization of students in La Sapienza University, which is one of the five biggest universities in Europe, has led to the occupation of both the Faculty of Literature, and the Faculty of Political Sciences, which was you know, one of the other schools that was particularly important. Here in Bologna, we are organizing. Obviously, I believe in half an hour, there's going to be a demonstration in solidarity against the attacks. Comrades are going to be there as well. So look forward to seeing on La Voce delle Lotte some footage from there. But yes, so one of the big things is the promotion of these democratic assemblies. We need to sit down amongst each other. The parts of the movement that we, in La Voce delle Lotte, we and FIR, which is the Frazione Internazionalista Rivoluzionaria, which is the name of the political organization behind La Voce delle Lotte. We had a lot of discussions on especially the risk of those who participated in the past 2 years of being very tired and, you know, after having faced repression for so long. And so with these new forces coming in, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's especially important to create this connection. Everyone has to get together. The students and the workers need to organize assemblies, democratic assemblies, and we need to center this around the strategic power of the working class. There is simply no alternative. We noticed this because it's about the word strike, right? No one, like, as much as students can do in politicizing the debate, in expanding the perimeter of the discussion, and in making issues popular on a mass level, as they have done, the possibility of striking with consequences that actually can be felt is within the hands of the working class. This means that we need a political movement and a political space for which the working class can then, which basically can, I don't know how to say, which can organize this collective power of the working class and that of the students, which are very active and which tend to make a difference in these cases and all that. And there is a lot that they have learned. This is a militant generation. This is a generation that has faced a harsh level of repression, which has faced a lot of violence compared, especially, like, even, for example, for my generation, I'm 27 years old. I'm almost done with university. I'm supposed to start working. But like the newer kids who are coming in right now, who are 21, 20 and all that, they have gotten involved in a much more inflammatory situation and all that. So I think bringing together these two components, which is those who have been carrying on the mobilization for this long in the universities and who are keeping on, and a working class which is searching for basically its power and for answers in that case, and organizing democratically around demands and specifically demands against rearmament, against imperialism, to establish a common program, to establish un plan de lucha, como dicen in our comrades in the Hispanophone area. I think it's something that's being discussed a lot, and of course that we also as La Voce delle Lotte and FIR are promoting. But obviously there is a lot of expectation that the unions will be more involved in this new phase of the mobilization.
Yeah, and you're pointing out and what you just answered, I think something that we as internationalist revolutionaries in the Trotskyist fraction, together with comrades in FIR, what we've been so passionate about, what's going on. We are seeing this horrendous genocide, but we are also seeing a historic rise of solidarity. First with mass movements, with really important demonstrations around the world. And then with the Global Sumud Flotilla, which drives its energy from the solidarity movement and the solidarity, this international solidarity movement with Palestine is historical. So we're seeing the general strike. We are seeing this revival of energy and this search for their own power in the working class, as you're saying, and it's taking it's an example internationally. So to start ending our short conversation, really interesting about what's going on, and hopefully we'll have more interesting things to discuss on what's going on in the class struggle in Italy. I want you to so you could comment on what we as revolutionaries, as internationalists, we can learn from what's going on in this common effort that we have as a Trotskyist fraction to try to put all our energy to support the Palestinian people, their right to self-determination, to contribute to have a free Palestine from the river to the sea. And this struggle, the struggle of the Palestinian people as a key factor in international agenda and a key factor in the recreation of a socialist revolutionary international that we strive together to help to create. So I want you to talk about, so from this moment, this movement we are seeing worldwide, what we can tell about our great goals and what they inspire us, this interesting moment we're seeing. It's horrific what we're seeing in Gaza, but it's also historic what we're seeing developing around Europe and in another, not as inflamed as in Europe, but we're seeing growing examples of solidarity worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm gonna start by saying, by prefacing that I do believe that Palestine is possibly the great issue of our time. It is not specifically for any contingent specific reason or anything. It is, I think, the crystallization of the reality of the imperialist order around the world, and as revolutionaries, as Trotskyists, we, I think, have had one, it's one of the things that attracted me and so many others to Trotskyists, which is a systematic analysis of how systems are on an international level. I think that our adversaries have had an advantage for a long time in understanding this even better than us, than ourselves, in understanding that internationalism and the international perspective would always be the course that this entire conversation would have had. And of course, you know, Marx, Engels, Lenin, Trotsky, great revolutionaries always expressed it in this sense. And this is not to make fetishism. It's not, you know, to like abstract calls to theory. But when you look at it, what you notice is that tragedies are never individually built and dynamics are never individually built. The reason why I think it's so important, what is going on right now is because it is establishing a connection between the center and the periphery on the people's basis. I don't know if this makes sense. The idea of, I think it's absolutely important that we keep into consideration that we, the working class in the West, and this is not to like discount any of the activity from the working class from like the periphery and say periphery and all that, but like the working class in the West, which has closed in on itself for so much, and especially under the leadership of union bureaucrats and the union bureaucracies, which reasoned in terms of like short-term goals, and they basically covered up the real power that the Western working class can have in sabotaging the imperialist war machine. That is central. I think that the moment when we come to realize this and when we come to convey this, and especially when we come as revolutionaries and as socialists to demonstrate that this imperialist war machine works against the interests of this Western working class, that making one more bomb just to make like 20 cents more on your salary is not going to be worth sending your sons and daughters on the front lines of some war to die for some oil baron shooting someone who's poorer than you. That is the moment when, you know, a lot of gears that were dormant for a long time start moving again. So in this sense, I think that it is of absolute importance that we start to consider how, like, how we can actually build a general, first off, of course, a real unitary general strike in Italy, because this needs to be called out. We need to be combative towards bureaucrats who basically are against the idea of extending the strike, because unfortunately on the 22nd, as I said, the largest union in the country, while saying that they were the only ones who were protesting for Gaza on the 19th, which, you know, is a bit insulting since the other unions have been doing, as you've pointed out, actions in solidarity with Gaza for the past 2 years, and also there's international examples, but they've basically been roped into this struggle. Now is the time, I believe, for socialists and revolutionaries to start talking about collective organization beyond the boundaries of the single union you are a part of. So the United Front tactics of workers' united fronts. And this can only be done by promoting workers' assemblies in factories, in railway stations, in the ports, and everywhere, so that we can reconstitute that internal united front that is so essential for the survival of the movements. And that is because of the strategic power of the working class. Secondly, I think that as Trotskyists, we need to look at how international this movement was up until now. There were so many important connections that were established in these 2 years. And I think, like, when we had the occupations in the universities, one of the greatest events that I remember was the international call that was done at one point with like a big projector and everything. And there were people from all over the world participating in this. And they were talking about the days of mobilization. Excuse me. Days of mobilization, days of international mobilization. They were talking about the fact that there were like teachers in the UK that were ready to struggle, and there were port workers in the States. And this is fundamental infrastructure for a collective international struggle. And us ourselves, as the Fracción Trotskista, as the Red Internacional, we have seen and we have been able to catalyze this media energy on an international scale. Now is the time to start thinking about concrete international organization. So first step, understanding how we can extend the perimeter of this mobilization, breaking down the barriers of union separation, breaking down the barriers that can exist between the students and the workers, which means going back to university and challenging, you know, narratives which unfortunately exist, which want to pacifize the students and all that, and especially convincing students and the students' movement of the centrality of the working class in this. Secondly, I think it is really time to start thinking about our actions more in an international perspective. And I think on that side, we have examples of history which tells us that that is the most the best that we can hope for if we really want to stop this imperialist war machine. Because they work on an international scale, it's time that we do as well.
There's infinite and passionate things to develop that we've started in this conversation. I wanna point out some things before we end. So there's a lot of things to learn. First, we need to have workers' democracy, workers organizing democratically, rank and file, so they can have their decisions, so we can put our strength in the streets and to block things and to reorganize the world as we need to reorganize the world. And in that struggle, we need to fight against the union bureaucracy. And many times this uh, this liberal or as you called it, this left-wing bourgeois movements that try to pacificize, to make passive our class. And you also pointed out something very important. The bourgeoisie imperialism has an international view of the problems. So all the bourgeois in the world are looking, well, so what we can learn from what went wrong in Italy. So they had a general strike in solidarity with the Palestine people. So we don't have in our countries, and we need to do the opposite movement. We as workers, we take the battle call that workers of the world unite, and in a way that that unity begins in a way by uniting behind and in support of the Palestine people in our times. And so it's a really I'm really glad we had this conversation. You besides learning more from what's going on in Italy, you also point out very important things so we can discuss and how we recreate an international revolutionary strategy in our times and how we can contribute for students, for workers to advance their struggle and to win against imperialism and capitalism. I really thank you for your time, Luca. I hope everyone that is watching will have enjoyed as I have this interview, and I'm glad that across the Atlantic we are doing the same struggle, not only in support of the Palestine people, but against imperialism and capitalism as a whole. So if I may, thank you. If you want to say something.
Just a little thing. Yeah, just because it came to my mind when we were talking. So obviously, thank you so much, Leandro. I like when you guys asked me to be here, I was on the moon. I honestly like the chance to interact and to help out and do whatever with comrades from other parts of the world is one of the things that really keeps us going, I think. So it's inspirational to be able to be part of something like this. But one thing that came to my mind in this, and I think I want to leave with this kind of message from way back when, this was a message, this was a slogan of the revolutionary left in Italy during the Vietnam War. They used to say that il Vietnam è in fabbrica. Il Vietnam è in fabbrica, which is means that Vietnam is in the factory. And that was the call made for strikes from the far left in Italy, for strikes to establish that connection that we were talking about. I think that that in that spirit, we need to keep working, and in that spirit, we need to keep moving, especially considering the composition of today's working class and all that's gone on. Palestine is in the war, is in the factory. Palestine is everywhere that we make it be. So yeah, thank you so much, comrades. Thank you, Leandro. And solidarity, international solidarity forever.
And free Palestine.
Free Palestine, absolutely.
Bem, e agora concluindo o nosso programa, como sempre, queremos aqui fazer um chamado a multiplicar as ações de solidariedade ao povo palestino. Essa semana estamos vendo começar movimentos de acampamento em universidades no Brasil, como na Unicamp, na USP. A gente viu semana passada acontecer na Federal do Rio Grande do Sul e na UFMG e na UNB. Então, uma série de ações pela juventude no nosso país, tomando em suas mãos a luta pela solidariedade ao povo palestino, e precisamos fazer multiplicar essas ações, tomar em nossas mãos para romper todas as relações e contribuir na luta histórica do povo palestino por sua autodeterminação, pelo direito de retorno dos refugiados, pelo seu direito de resistência, pelo seu direito de uma Palestina livre do rio ao mar. Nenhuma gota de petróleo, nenhuma gota de sangue palestino derramado.